Wow, Bailey Fidler. How can it be? Excellent. She's a graduate. We're going to be missing her. We celebrated graduation last week. Just a tremendous job. Saw Bailey yesterday in the drive-through window at Subway. I was making an important decision there yesterday, and she was all beaming, said, "I'm doing special music tomorrow." And I said, "I love that last song, I Will Trust in You." Did that a couple months ago. I still hum that every time I hear it on Christian radio. So I hope you enjoyed that this morning. Excellent, excellent job. Want to thank you for being here this morning. I'm really, really excited about something new today. I want you to be excited as well. We have a brand new FCC Brazil app. Man, I'm excited. Let's try that again. You're weak this morning. I don't know. I mean, technology, you ought to be excited about this. FCC Brazil app. Yeah. Woo. Oh, man. Thank you for humoring me this morning. Hey, you can get that on Google Play. I can't even believe I'm saying Google Play. Google, I love Google, but come on. And you can get it on iTunes as well. Really, really excited about it. What's the difference between going to the website and going to an app? If you have the app, you're an insider. Number two is it's faster on the app. And so if you want to remember what event is going on and when it's going to be and where it's going to be, get on the app. If you want to do it slow time, get on the website. Maybe you'll pick up Wi-Fi and you'll use some of your gigabytes, some of your bytes on download on your phone or something like that. But get the app. So remember to check in on Facebook this morning. I noticed some of you have done this. If you know how to check in on Facebook, go to Facebook. I can't believe I'm saying that because I can get, if you're ADHD like me and you get on Facebook, you can be lost forever in that world. But check in, let your friends know that you're at church on Facebook this morning. You can be a Christian influence by just checking in. Dave mentioned about our acts of love. You're doing really, really good on that. But another thing I'm really excited about is this new sermon series. We start today. It's entitled Grow, and we want you to grow. Now, there is something that you have to do before you grow, and it is pull the weeds. Pull the weeds. How many of you love to pull the weeds? That is at an undisclosed face. I got a selfie, and yes, there are weeds, and they're standing as high as I am. There are some close-ups of some weeds. So maybe you're like me, and you hate to pull weeds. When I was punished as a child, I would be sent out to the garden to pull the weeds. And so there's a picture of some weeds. You might be unfamiliar with those kind of weeds. Maybe they don't grow at your house, but they grow at mine. Now, everybody wants to have a beautiful garden or a beautiful yard. And I have a picture of the yard. A beautiful yard. This is at an undisclosed location. Some of you will recognize that yard because you're related to people who maintain that yard. But I had a hard time finding a vegetable garden to take a picture of. How many of you guys got a vegetable garden? I drove around Brazil in town and I could not find one. So I didn't have time to go out where you live to take a picture of your garden. But I know they exist. In fact, some of our members walked out today saying, "I am going to go plant my garden today," because it's been so wet that they haven't had the opportunity. So what is true physically in our gardens and our yards, I believe also is true in our spiritual life. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks to us about growing a spiritual garden, and he lists for us the fruit of the Spirit. Now, everybody wants the fruit. Everyone wants to grow. But before he lists the fruit of the Spirit, Paul gives us another list. And this list doesn't often get talked about. It's called the acts of the sinful nature. And it's in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies," and I like this one, "and things like that." If none of those hit you, then Paul does this et cetera deal, "and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, the secret is this. You can't grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life until you pull the weeds of the sinful nature. When we pull the weeds, we have the tendency to weed eat instead of pulling the weeds. We see just on the surface, and we quickly make way through our garden instead of going deep and pulling the weeds up by its roots. Now, some weeds have roots that are more than 6 inches deep. So if you don't pull it out, the roots will quickly and always come back. And we tend to approach our sinful nature in the same way. We treat it like behavior modification. We try to change some things on the surface, some things that people might notice about us, but we don't dig down deep and pull out the sin by its roots. So we have to teach, like when I was a little kid, I had to be taught to distinguish between flowers and weeds and vegetables. So some of you may like dandelions. I brought my mom dandelions when I was little, and you might have done that as well. And some of your kids or your grandkids might do that today, and you don't throw them out when they come in and they're all proud. You don't just toss them away and say, "Those are weeds, don't you know?" You receive them gladly and say, "Oh, those are beautiful dandelions." You don't say, "Oh, those are terrible weeds. Don't let them grow in your yard." We don't do that. But we do know this. You can't grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life until you pull the weeds of the sinful nature. Because you can call a weed a flower, but left unchecked, that weed will spread and grow, and it will kill your fruit. Most of us want the fruit, especially the fruit of the Spirit, but we are not willing to do the hard work. I invite you to get down in the dirt, to pull the weeds of the sinful nature in your life so that the Spirit of God can grow the fruit of the Spirit abundantly in your life. Now, if you have a backyard like mine, it's overgrown, especially around the wood pile. And one day, I might remove that wood pile, and I might grow a vegetable garden or a huge flower garden. Maybe this will be the year. Now, when I was younger, probably about 20 plus years ago, we decided to grow a garden. It was a 10 by 10 plot. My wife, Stacy, said, "Why don't we do a garden?" And so being young and naive, we started the garden. I double dug it, meaning I took a spade or a shovel and I dug it up the first time, and then I separated the dirt or the soil from the clods of sod, and then I dug it again, and then I actually went out and bought horse manure and spread it and then double dug it again. And what I didn't know at that time was all I was doing was spreading weed seed in my garden by doing that so many times. And then I planted the garden and I took the sticks out like my dad did and the string, and I lined up the rows and I hoed it, and I had radishes and leaf lettuce, and I had onions and I had tomatoes and I had green peppers and all that kind of thing. And then I weeded it And then when I went to CIY CJ and I went to camp, then all the weeds engulfed it, and I had this garden that was just full of weeds. Happened every summer for 3 summers as we had this garden together. If you'll notice, the only time I say we had this garden was because we had this idea, but it was all me. And so I'm slow, and I'm a young married at that time, and so guess what? After 3 summers of it growing up and overgrowing and me running the lawnmower over it after I got frustrated with it, I gave up. So the next year when we were going to have another garden, guess what? We didn't have any more. I said, whenever you want to have your garden, let me know. Do you have gardening situations like that in your life that maybe you wonder, you're watering, the sun is shining, and you don't know why your garden won't grow good vegetables and good fruit? Maybe it's because we didn't prepare the ground first. And what I learned was that you don't double dig a garden. What you ought to do, if you're patient and you're a good gardener, is you lay out newspaper and cardboard on top of that earth, and you allow it to kill it all, and then you just till up what you have to, and then you plant it, and then you slowly maintain it, and you don't miss 2 weeks in the summer to go to camp and to CIY and church camp and mission trips and things like that. You've got to love and invest in it to have a great garden. You've got to do the hard work. And I can remember my dad getting up early in the morning and watering and weeding. And I thought, man, you are crazy. You could have a few hours more sleep. But he loved the garden. And then we'd have this garden war at the end of the season. And I know my mom and dad are listening to this, and I'm sorry, mom and dad. But they'd have this war because my dad would like to have this huge, like, truck patch garden. Huge. But my mom hated canning. And so there was this war at the end of the season on what we were going to can and what we weren't. It was really hot in August, and we didn't have air conditioning at the time, and it was miserable to can and to heat up the house and do all of that. I think this is what happens in our lives. We aren't the person we want to be. Our lives have turned into kind of a mess, like our gardens, and we keep saying that we are going to do something differently, and this year is going to be the year that I bear fruit. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more joyful. I'm going to be more peaceful. I'm going to be more patient. But nothing really changes. We're not any different this year than we were last year or the year before last. We still struggle with the same areas in our lives. And you still aren't the person that you want to be. What's the problem? We haven't pulled the weeds of the sinful nature. We've asked God to grow fruit in the garden, but it's still full of weeds. There's a tendency to jump right into the fruit, a desire to get to the good stuff. Let's talk about how we can grow, how we can become the person we want to be. And so this morning, we want to have some advice on love and peace and all of those things, but we end up skipping over that. And unless you pull the weeds, unless you prepare the ground, the fruit of the Spirit is going to have a difficult time growing. So here's why you do what you don't want to do. In Galatians 5:17, it says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." So there's a war inside of us. We say we want fruit, but we still have the sinful nature growing. It's like a spiritual UFC match or a spiritual cage fight. And someone might say, "I don't love my wife anymore. The feelings are gone. There is no attraction. There is no intimacy." Yet that person wants to stay married to their wife. But he's frustrated. Why is that happening? Well, in the same garden that he wants the fruit of love, he is growing the weeds of lust. And he is watering the weeds of lust every day, and he's asking God to grow love in the marriage. Maybe you want to grow the fruit of whatever it is the Holy Spirit is prompting you to grow. But you have a reputation of growing the exact opposite. Maybe it's a weed of the sinful nature. Maybe you're bitter toward your parents or toward your ex, and the weed chokes the joy out of your life. It may be the weed of jealousy, and it's choking the fruit of gratefulness. It's not a matter of planting seeds of the fruit. It's just that we're not willing to do the hard work of digging deep, repenting, and confessing, and accountability. Most people want the fruit, but they don't want to pull the weeds. You are going to grow the fruit of the Spirit if you are watering. You're not going to grow the fruit of the Spirit if you're watering the weeds. And it's difficult and it's counterproductive if you ask God to grow the fruit if you're not pulling the weeds. Now, you guys know that I'm pretty involved in physical health and wellness, and I go to the Y and I work out fairly often. But I want you to picture this, that you're getting ready to go work out at your favorite workout spot, or going to go take your walk or do your swim or ride your bike or whatever you're going to do. But before you do, you're going to go to Dairy Queen, okay? And you're going to get a huge blizzard of whatever your favorite most chocolatey thing that you can buy. It's only about 1,400 calories. And so before your workout or as you're working out, you're eating your blizzard. Now, is there something wrong with that picture in your mind? Are you doing everything possible to get healthy and be well? It's sort of like going to worship once a week and then watering the weeds the rest of the week instead of pulling them. The question is, what are the weeds of the sinful nature that need to be uprooted in your life so that the Spirit can grow His fruit in our lives? In Galatia and in our culture, they both say that what God says are weeds, they say, Galatia and our culture say, are desirable flowers. And so you need to be planting these things. So there's a war between the world and the Spirit. They're at odds. And so we talked earlier about the list of the sinful nature, and things like those, things like these that also are included. But to have the fruit of the Spirit comes from the power of the Spirit to grow fruit, to pull the weeds. But we try to be good and we try to be religious, but we can't do it on our own. And maybe you've seen this before. Maybe someone you think is like a legendary Christian, an all-star superstar Christian, that all of a sudden has a huge fall, and it's because they've never pulled the weeds. They're putting on a show, they're faking it, and they're really not changed from the inside out. And that could be any one of us. It is by the power of the Spirit that we are changed. If the Spirit is left out, you'll be faking it. And look at verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Live by the Spirit, you will not satisfy." But listen, this is dangerous teaching, and I've heard it preached from this pulpit, that if I try hard enough, and if I work hard enough, and if I do what I'm supposed to do, if I do that, it's sort of like me doing the garden. If I do that, and it's the doctrine of self-sanctification, Because we don't do that on our own. We are not good by ourselves. It is the power of God that works in us. And in Galatians, in the church in Galatia, Paul says that there are these Judaizers that are calling you to be good and to do good and to obey all the rules. And it was all about themselves, and they were forgetting that it is only by the power of God that we're changed. And if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" What Paul is saying is we cannot do it on our own. We cannot be good in and of ourselves. So that leads us to two or three insights I want to look at today. And the first one is this: living by the Spirit means continual vigilance. Living by the Spirit means continual awareness and constant prayer. Vigilance. It means to keep in step with the Spirit. So the idea is if you're walking alongside with someone else, that they keep step with you in unison to be powered by the Holy Spirit. We are used to coming to church once a week, and this is moment by moment, step by step living. Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, says this, that to live moment by moment in the Spirit is like spiritual breathing. When you begin to sin or have a sinful temptation, the moment you become aware of it, that the Holy Spirit prompts you, exhale, breathe out. Repent, agree with what God's word says. That's pulling the weed early on in something in your life. You breathe out like this. Let's practice that. I didn't do this first service. Practice this. Everybody, one, two, three. Okay, let's try that again. I almost had you all doing this. One, two, three. All right, that is an exhale. So when that temptation comes, what are you going to do? You're going to go, whew. All right. So when you are jealous, what are you going to do? Whew. When you're lustful, whew. When you're critical, whew. When you're harsh, whew. When you're prideful, whew. When you are mean. Whew. And now if you're out of breath and you're, what do you call that when you hyperventilate, you're hyperventilating. I'm a little red-faced right now. Now, what you're supposed to do is you breathe out, and then you breathe in the grace of God. You inhale the grace of God, and you accept His forgiveness. Breathe in. The truth that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, breathe in. And you surrender the control of that area of your life. So you breathe out and you breathe in. As you practice this day in, day out, this will become second nature to you. This is pulling the weeds. Now, some of you are golfers and some of you are concerned because I might run a little over and you're going to miss your tee time this morning. I know that because I was a golfer at one time. In fact, I started playing golf before I was taught how to play golf. That's a dangerous thing because I would rip it like a baseball bat, lean into it, pick up my foot, and swing. And a lot of times I'd miss the ball, and other times I would hit it so hard and it would flex, and I'd have this perfect boomerang slice. They would go. And the farther that I would move that way, the more that it would go that way. And it was a terrible, terrible thing. And somebody came alongside of me and said, "Hey, do you want me to help you?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, show me your swing." And I did. I just ripped it and I hit it and pow. And they said, "You've done this before, haven't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, you shouldn't have done that, because it was so awful." And they said, "For you to change, for you to develop, you had to learn your grip, and you don't lift up your foot, and you got just everything I was doing was wrong. And for me to learn how to hit the golf ball right, I had to become unnatural to become natural, because I had to unlearn all those bad habits." And so when we breathe out and when we change, it's going to feel unnatural to you. because those temptations are going to come, and it's going to feel unnatural to you to breathe out and to breathe in the Spirit of God. It will. But you'll be pulling the weeds. And so God wants you to breathe in, but it's going to feel unnatural. And this will take constant prayer and constant awareness. It'll take vigilance until it becomes natural. The second insight I want to share with you this morning is living by the Spirit means discernment. Discernment. Living by the Spirit means filtered thinking. Two opposing forces are present in the life of a Christian, the sinful nature and the Spirit of God. And how do we live by the Spirit and not by the sinful nature? If you'll look in Romans chapter 8, the battleground is for your thought life. And this is where the battle's going to be fought. So what you feed your mind will feed either the sinful nature or your spirit. And what you see and hear and what your mind dwells on is what you will become. And look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." What does God want to give to you? Life and peace. So if your garden is overflowing with weeds and you have a hard time growing fruit, then I would ask, what are you thinking about? What are you feeding your mind? They both have strong appetites, both the sinful nature and the spirit. They both demand to be fed. They both want to grow. Tara Lee Cobble wrote, "There are two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, but the one I feed will dominate." And so the things you think about do matter. The books you read, the songs you listen to, the magazines you pick up, the things you look at on Facebook and on the internet, the programs you watch, the conversations you have, are they feeding the sinful nature or are they feeding the spirit? Which one you are feeding is going to become stronger. The one that you are starving will become weaker. Now, most people don't realize how many calories they eat in a day, and most fitness advocates or trainers will tell you to keep track of everything, and I've got an app for that for you. I use my Fitness Pal. Now, what I know is that blizzards are bad for me. I like the turtle blizzard. I like the salted caramel blizzard with the chunks of chocolate and caramel in it. I love those things. But I can't have those because my Fitness Pal tells me that like their a medium's like 700 calories and a large is like 1400 calories, and I know that my daily diet is only about 1400 calories without exercise. So that's my day right there. That blizzard is it. Now, most of us don't realize that those calories add up, and at the end of the day, that Snickers that you pick up off of somebody else's desk, that cookie or that mint or that nice-looking little muffin out at the FCC cafe, they all add up. Even though they're not during mealtime, they add up. And the same thing's true with the sinful nature in our lives. If you're feeling a struggle in developing the fruit of the Spirit through this summer as I preach this series, keep a diary of your thought life. What am I reading? What am I thinking? What am I seeing? What am I listening to? And in fact, I've had to change the radio station while I work construction. I change it over to BGL or Air One because it just helps me. The Bible stories that I read and the Bible reading that I do, and those things are a struggle, but we've got to be vigilant. And finally, the third third insight is living by the Spirit means self-sacrifice. Living by the Spirit means to die to myself. Galatians 5:24, same chapter, it says, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires." If the old self was crucified with Christ, why do I still have these struggle? Why do the weeds still grow? Why still do I want to do the things that I know that are bad for me? My answer is this. Crucifixion is a long and painful process, and that is why Paul says that he dies daily. Crucifixion was slow and painful. And we are to empty me of me and fill me with God's presence, with the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says it. Again, Paul says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." These weeds can't be covered up by plastic and mulch. You've got to uproot them. There's no supernatural Roundup that we can spray on them that'll go down to the root. We have to be vigilant. The filling of the Holy Spirit does not mean that the believer gets more of the Holy Spirit, but rather the Holy Spirit gets more of the believer. And I pray that this will happen as we go through this sermon series, that the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control aren't a list of things that you're going to try, but that you would surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit, that you would exhale those things that are tempting to you, and that you would inhale the grace of God and the Spirit of God. And as you do so, that the fruit of the Spirit will grow in your life, and that you will realize that we cannot do it on our own. It's the power of God in you. If you're looking at the garden of your life and you're thinking that I've got to do something about this, I've got to get rid of these weeds, they're going to take over my life, then you need to make sure that you've surrendered your life to Jesus and that you've received the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to talk to someone about that decision, or if you want to make this church your home, we'd love to have you as part of our church family. And this is the time to make that decision. Would you please stand as I pray? Father, we struggle in this flesh. You know it. We can't hide it. And Father, I pray for those that the weeds are strong and the fruit is dying, and they're wondering even why they're here, because they're ready to give up. Father, I pray that you'd extend grace, that you would give hope, because you want to do a work in us. A supernatural work that we can give the glory to you, because we can't do it on our own. We're thankful that Jesus paid the price on the cross, that he died that we might receive forgiveness of our sin, that we might have hope, that the Holy Spirit might reign in our lives, that we might bear the fruit, because you are helping us pull the weeds. Father, we just ask that you would move in the hearts and the minds of these, your people, that we would surrender to you completely, that your will would be done in our lives. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Will you come this morning?